There is a PowerPoint that will be available for us to look at as I share. And when we think about the world we live in, it's a broken world. There's a lot of suffering. And you don't have to necessarily look at the macro picture, which is the big picture of things. Even when you narrow down and zoom in, each day we encounter people who are going through different levels of suffering. Our own suffering, our own grief, our own struggle. But then again, when you look at hospital situations, when you watch the news, wherever you look, we see the broken world. And this causes us to ask, what is God doing about all this? A common question that we come across, what is God doing about the suffering in the big scale and the suffering that we encounter in the small scale? Two stories we've read this morning, Peter and John at the gates. And I was told this morning, two people from the church has been at the beautiful gates in this beautiful Holy Land. And I think Celia is one of those who have been there, and Sandra, who goes to the first service. They've been there and seen. It's a real place we are talking about. And so Peter and John, they meet this man at the gate, and he's asking for money, obviously. He's begging for alms. And they say to him, silver and gold we don't have, but what we have, in Jesus' name, rise and stand. So he stands up and is able to do what God's will is, to be healed. And then we see Jesus using someone's packed lunch to feed more than 5,000 people. I've got a little refrain for you to be thinking about. So when I say this, I want you to respond with, have we got the audacity? So Jesus has the capacity. Jesus has the capacity. That's the question we are asking ourselves this morning. Jesus has the capacity to heal the broken world. He has the capacity to respond to the suffering that we see each day. He has the capacity. All he's asking you and me as we respond and join in with what he is doing is to have an audacious faith. And that is a faith that knows our limited capacity but takes the risk anyway. He's calling you and me to go out there to minister the gift of healing, to help people who need help, to be there to show compassion and to be there to point them to Jesus in exaltation, because we, though we have limited capacity, he has got the capacity. And so when we think about these two stories that we have read this morning, the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus looked at the people. He had compassion. His compassion was moved into action. These people had been following him all day. So in his mind, he is attentive to the detail. He is aware. They haven't stopped anywhere to have any food. So he's aware about their physical hunger. But he's also aware of their limits. So when he challenges Philip and says, what are we going to do with these people? How are we going to feed them? And Philip is like, it will take a lot of money for me to be able to feed these people. But Jesus uses this little boy's lunch to feed everyone. And then the healing of the beggar at the gate. Peter and John, they don't have the capacity to bring healing, but they know who has got that. So Jesus has the capacity. Have we got the audacity to step into that space and show his love to those who are there in the broken world? So we start with looking at the gift of healing. The foundation of this is our acknowledgement that Jesus is very, very, very close to those who suffer. The scripture paints him as one who hung out more with those who suffered. He did not step away from them when the struggle of the world, when the physical hunger of the people who were there, when he did the miracle for feeding the 5,000, for the disciples, this is overwhelming. These guys are hungry. They need something to eat. For the people, that's overwhelming for the disciples. But what does Jesus do? He doesn't join them in their worry and concern for what shall we do. He doesn't move in the opposite direction. He moves towards them with gentleness and love. He has what it takes to be able to deal with the need of our human suffering. And out of his love, we see him as a merciful God. We see him as one who doesn't run away from suffering. In his gentleness, in his love, he responds to the suffering of the world. And all he's asking you and me, as people who will be involved in healing, he's asking you, would you join him in this gentleness? Would you join him in the way that the world is suffering and bring that healing? And it's not just about being able to pray for people and they physically rise. It's wider than that. It's deeper than that. Sometimes we'll be privileged to pray for people and something is going to happen physically. But Jesus is a holistic healer. He's looking at the deep, deep needs of their soul. And he's wanting to respond to that. He sets us the best example. He hangs out with those who are suffering. He gives them healing. He gives them hope. He restores them. What do we see with this gentleman who was at the gate? When he is restored, even before his body is fully able to move, the Bible says he hobbled into the places of worship. He joined the community such that his healing is not just for him, but it's for the people. People who are used to giving some extra change to him, they don't have to do that anymore. Jesus has dealt with this man's illness. He has helped him to rise. And all that Peter and John needed was a little bit of audacity to declare the name of Jesus to this man. So Jesus has that gentle strength that he demonstrates. He's very close to those who suffer. And I have to say, it's not always easy. It's not always easy because sometimes we are limited in what we can do. Sometimes we find ourselves in spaces where people are really struggling in their physical or mental or spiritual struggle. And there is a lot of visible suffering. And we feel limited. But like Jesus, we stop there with them to be involved in what God is doing. Jesus meets us in our brokenness. He comes to us. He shows up in our situations. And I know each of us somehow has a story of knowing if it wasn't for Jesus, I wouldn't have made it through. And what does he use? He uses you and me. He uses the preaching of his word. This is one way he works out his ways of healing the world. The teaching of his word, the sharing of the sacraments, but also the fellowship of believers, the community that we are part of. We are part of the way God is healing the world. When we ask, what is Jesus doing about the brokenness of the world? He looks at us and says, I've got you to be part of what I am doing. I've got you to be the thread that brings the healing in our community. So when Jesus meets us in our brokenness, he wants us to be present in other people's brokenness, in simple or wider ways or bigger ways. He wants us to extend healing to others. And what does that look like? Sometimes it's just a simple prayer. Other times it's just being present with people on their bedside. Other times it's just walking with them as they go through their suffering. That healing is just, we extend what we have received from God. We share that with others. It is not just the physical, but also the emotional well-being. We are looking after people holistically and supporting them. And it's interesting, in my reading, I was finding the people who are caregivers, the nurses and carers, and all those people who are involved in the social work, they are an extension of how God is responding to our broken world. And so sometimes it's just about praying for those people, supporting them, loving them and encouraging them in those moments of struggle. It is being there to nurture them. It is offering that compassion, being understanding, being listening. What about the spiritual gift of helping? all of us are beneficiaries of other people's help. And I know we live in a culture that's very individualistic. And when you think about our world today, you ask yourself, why did Steve Jobs and his Apple people decide to call it an iPhone? Me, it's mine. It belongs to me, an iPad. It is a very individualistic world. But what helping says to you and to me is to not hold on to that little that we've got. It's pointing us outwards and saying, I have limited time. It's my energy, it's my time, it's my anything, put that on that list, but I want to share it with others. I want to be there to help other people. I know I'm meant to be doing this, but like the Good Samaritan, I can step outside of my plans and help others. So helping is simply that, stepping out of our limited capacity and knowing that we can help others. It has to be surrounded by presence. It is not just about doing things for people. It is also being with people, being with them, so that we are not just being transactional or like dishing money out or things out like an ATM. ATMs are very impersonal. They're very good when they're working, because when you go into them, you type in your keypad for the password, and then you hope when you've done that and told it whatever amount, you hope it will just chuck that money out. There is very little interaction in them. However, our helping is not like the ATM. It has to be surrounded by presence, a desire to be with people faithfully, to be intentional about that, to journey with people, to build a relationship. So our helping has to be calculated so well so it doesn't become a transaction. It becomes something that is inhabited by presence, active listening, and offering comfort. On Wednesday, just tell a little story that Louise and I were involved in, and Janet. Obviously, wonderful John called us to come and clear the galley. And then we knew what we were doing. We knew what we were meant to do. But then a few minutes later, two dogs running up and down the road, lost. We weren't sure whose they were. But then Louise, obviously, she's got a dog. So as someone who knows the risk of them running up and down a busy road, we need to do something. We need a little distraction from what we obviously came to do. But then we decide, Louise tried to get the dogs calm down so that they don't go into the road. We closed the gate so they were within the chat perimeter. And then we're trying to figure out what can we do. So I take a quick photo of the dogs, post it on Facebook, and say there's a well done Facebook page. If it's your dogs, please come and collect them. The conversation are ongoing there. And then Janet spots a mobile phone number on one of the dog's tags or labels or things on the neck. And we decided to give that person a ring. And as soon as I tried to ring her, I got a message back saying, sorry, I'm deaf, I can't hear what you're saying. And then we started this messaging conversation, and eventually in half an hour's time, half an hour carved out of what we were intending to be doing, half an hour of what you might call a little disruption, we were able to reunite the two dogs with their families. Helping sometimes will look like a little disruption out of our routine things or the things we had planned to do. And that's very easily can go unnoticed. But sometimes most of our helping ministry, the pastoral side of it, will go unnoticed, but do it anyway. Because Jesus has the capacity. Do we have the audacity? Do we have the audacity to stop and help? And then the next one is the gift of compassion. This is when you have attentive presence. You kind of have this extra eye on things. You notice. You notice when things are not going well. And your desire is to respond with love. And these four gifts are very interconnected. And so it will look as though there's a bit of repetition in what I'm saying. But people of compassion, they join in with what Jesus is doing. And the way they join in is they have that deep compassion. It's demonstrated by being fully present with someone during the struggle and pain. They see, they listen, they notice. They are the people who will tell you, "Are you all right today?" And you're like, "God, I really needed that question today." Because sometimes when we have needs with us and when we are going through struggle, sometimes we don't have the capacity to speak that out. I would encourage you to always ask for help. But more times, we don't have the capacity or you don't have the words to just articulate what you're going through. And it takes someone noticing something is different in you. And we all know we've found ourselves on either side of that, asking someone, "Are you all right?" Or maybe God prompting you and you ring someone and you're like, "I really needed that phone call. I really needed that message. I really needed that you popping in." That is part of our DNA as Christians, being able to show up, notice what is happening. Again, it has a lot of listening. When you show up in someone's situation, you listen attentively to someone's pain and you show them compassion and understanding. And there will be moments, many, many times, we don't have the answer. It's very, very tempting to show up and say, "This is what you should do." But compassion sometimes just waits and sees with God and Christ's eyes what is happening in this situation and what can I do. Compassion is what gives empathy action. Because empathy is you step into somebody's situation, you put yourself in their shoes, and then you ask, "What can we do?" You share in their feelings. You support them during tough times. And the church has been so good at that. And some of it is within our gatherings, our small gatherings, but we also have charities that do this beautifully, which some of you already support. We've got Compassion International, a charity that enters the struggle of children who may otherwise not ever make it into their schooling system. We've got Mercy Ships, and they go into different parts of the world. They have medical team that gather together and they show love and support. They do operations on people who may never afford those operations. They transform people's lives. And so you can be involved in this healing, helping, compassion work in so many different ways. But remember, just like this little boy, maybe all you have is a packed lunch. But may God give us the audacity to be willing to hand that over so that Jesus can transform it. Maybe all you have is a gentle word of encouragement. Maybe all you can do at a particular time is to send that message. Or pop in to someone who doesn't mind you spontaneously showing up at their house. I think the world we live in is so individualistic. Sometimes we just need to disrupt it a little bit. Just show up at someone's door and love them and show them care. Just check in. If they allow you in, that's fine. If they're very busy or going somewhere, that's okay. Just be willing to have the audacity to put your faith into action. I have been a great beneficiary of that spontaneity of God's grace. And I try my best to extend it. And as a church, as we think about what we are doing as a church, the year of preparation, we are raising this awareness within us so that all of us can discover this gift, but then have the audacity to bring them into life, to bring them into being real. Because together we can do a lot. It might be that ours is just a drop in the ocean, but as Mother Teresa will say, if you remove that ocean, that drop from the ocean will be minus one drop. It won't be the same. And she was a great champion of compassion in the way she looked after the sort of the suffering people in Calcutta. And I know not all of us will be able to do it to that extent, but maybe your Calcutta is your neighborhood. Well, whether you're in Weldon, Rushden, whether you're in Priors Hall or in the village, wherever you are, your Calcutta can be that space. Show love, show compassion. And the final one is exaltation. As we do all these things, we are reminded that we do it because of God. So we have to remember to give thanks to God all the time, to praise Him and to honor Him. So these are the people, the people with the gift of exhortation. They will use the power of God in them to encourage others, to raise them up. Because sometimes people just need a little encouragement and someone to tell them, pat on the back and say, you can do it. God's got you. If so far you haven't discovered any of these gifts and you're like, that's not mine, that's not me, that's not me. These gifts for this session today, these are the ones we can all lean into and be able to practice. So when we have that gift, we worship and praise God. We express that reverence through worship and praise in community gatherings. The guy who was helped at the gate, he ran into the temple. He wanted to thank God. He did not necessarily know what had happened, but he wanted to thank God. A few weeks ago when I visited David in the hospital, I read for him Psalm 121. I know lots of you, that's your favorite Psalm, 121. And as I read that to him, you could see the glow on his face. Because it just says, I cast my eyes up the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. And that is what we're doing with the exhortation. We are encouraging people. We are pointing them to Jesus and telling them He is the one they can lean on to. So do not be ashamed. Do not be afraid of sharing the testimonies of God's doing in your life. Because in fact, you're pointing them to God. And you're praising God for what He has done. Be a faithful person. Live faithfully in your daily ways of life. Glorify God. Remember to have that attitude of gratitude. So how can we integrate this into our daily life as we draw to a close? Healing words. What words come out of your mouth? Are they healing or are they breaking? Are they encouraging? Are they filled with hope? And this, as I said, it's for the bigger scale and the small scale. When we respond to the crisis in our world, are we speaking hope or desperation? I pray that God would help us to know that Jesus has the capacity, and all we need is that audacity to speak words of hope. As Christians, we don't speak these words because they are wishy-washy and they have been part of our lives. We speak them because we believe in them and we have experienced them. So speak those healing words. Offer help. Offer your helping hands. Lots of people need help and we also need help. Receive help and offer help as much as possible. If you have an inclining thought in your mind, a nagging thought, I think he might need help there. Maybe it's a mom in a shop with a crying child. She's trying to put things in the shopping basket on the trolley. Just ask, 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 ask. Can I help? Can I help you reach that thing on the top shelf of the shop? Why do they put them so high up? And sometimes you go and you're like, all I need to do is 2 seconds of my life. Just offer that, and then you save somebody 3 minutes of trying to reach something from up there. Little things will make a huge difference. May your hearts be full of compassion. That is very important. If that is the driver of our actions, that compassion, and compassion is very important, because when you choose to be compassionate about someone, when you step into their struggle, all you want is things to work. You're not there to judge them. You're not there to fix them. You're there to figure out what can God do in this space. And then remember to thank God, because it is He who has given you the capacity to be able to do anything. And it's Him. When we pray for people and nothing changes, because we're not doing it in our name, we don't carry that frustration, because we know it's Jesus who heals. Peter and John said, in Jesus' name, rise. They did not say in our name. So the glory doesn't go to them. The glory doesn't go to us. We exalt the Lord in all this. So become vessels of ordinary miracles. We sang this morning that song of, Lord, make me a channel of your peace. Make me that channel. Allow me to be used with what God is doing. Be vessels of God's work Your ordinary actions will lead to extraordinary impact. And as you do that, reflect God's glory. I've used this picture before. You know the moon? The moon has no light of its own. It depends on the sun. The sun shines on it and it lights us back. That is all we are being asked to do. Reflect God's glory. We are going to close at this. And as you think about what you could do, I pray that God would give you an awareness of Jesus' capacity. May we all know God's capacity in Christ. Lord, would you give us the audacity, the audacious faith, so that we are willing to step out and help and witness healing amongst our people, to show compassion and to be a people who give glory to you and exalt you. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.